welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. Morning Classics host Owen DeYoung retires this month. He officially signs off on December 30th. We're spending today celebrating Owen. This morning featured a live on-air retirement party on Dakota Midday. We continue the party by bringing you stories of Owen that you might not have heard. Larry Rohr, Kenny Putnam, and Nick Schwabach have traveled and played music with Owen DeYoung for decades. His friends say he is deeply talented and original, musically fearless, and delightfully mischievous. We gathered Larry and Kenny in the SDPB studios in Vermilion. Larry and Nick were with us in Vermilion, and then Kenny joined us West River via the phone, and then we just let the stories flow. So I just want to start out by saying that I met Owen as a listener first through Morning Classics. That's how I knew who he was, and now I've had a year of being a colleague with him. I know him to be intelligent and generous and kind. And now I want to know the rest of the story from the people who have known him way longer than I have. So let's put some context into how long you folks have actually known Owen. And let's start with Kenny. Give me an idea of how far back do you go?
I met Owen when I first went to USD in 1973. So that was a long time ago, and I probably didn't know him well for about 6 months, but not too long after that I knew him.
Give me your first impression of him.
Well, he was sitting first chair in the orchestra.
Oh.
So, yeah. You know, I was back in the back, and I've told the story many times. I just saw an electric cable in his violin case, and so I had to talk to him, and we started talking about playing in bands, so I saw him at Grease City that week. So,
and we're already getting chuckles here. Nick, give me an idea of how you met Owen in the early days.
Well, there was a lot of people don't have any idea what Grease City was. It was a Quonset Hut bar in downtown Vermilion. Which really had good music, and Owen was a big part of that. But Owen and I went to school at the same time, and we never met each other at USD. In fact, when we started a band that we played in, which was the Totally Amazing Bitsko Band.
Legendary.
Legendary band indeed it was. But we were playing out at God's Eye, which is another Vermilion locale that I don't know what it is now, a real estate business, but the vets used to be. I don't know what it is now, but anyway, we were playing out there, and somebody in the band, I don't know who, had run into Owen and said, well, why don't you come and sit in with us? And so we were playing out there that night, and Owen comes in with a fiddle that had somehow blown out of his car at one time or another. And so it was taped together. It was entirely black electrical tape. And it worked. So he said, yeah, come up and play, you know. And so we were playing, and when he started playing, we were all just looking at each other like, oh, my God, where's this guy come from? You know? But that's how we first met him. And then later on, he joined the band, you know, because we said, anytime you want to play with us, please do.
Huh. Larry,
Relatively speaking, by a year or more, I'm a babe in this group. And the first time that I ran across all three of these guys, Nick, Owen, and Kenny, was during the time I worked at a commercial country music station in Sioux Falls. I mean, and if you did that in the local music scene, you would know of Owen and Nick in the Boca Alice Band, and you would know of Kenny from the Red Willow and his career with Roy Clark and others. So I knew of them then, but as a fan of public radio while working at a commercial country music station, I was listening one day when there was a job opening here, and I applied for it. And a few weeks after that, I was driving south to work instead of north. And it was about that time when I started here the founder of the Poker Alice Band, Gary Knutson, was getting sick. He'd been dealing with a cancer-like illness. And it was like within a month after I started here, he asked if I might be interested in talking with Owen and Nick about the future of the Poker Alice Band. And I said, yeah. And then it was later that year that we started playing together. So I really getting to know Owen and Nick and seeing more of Kenny was about the time I started here. Hmm. And then it's just been an odyssey since then.
Kenny, what kind of musician is Owen? How do you describe him as a musician to me?
Owen is a total unique player. He's an individual. He's so talented. He's got such a like all of his life. He's got a classical background, and then he was playing hardcore country in Sioux Falls with the Howie Gamber band at the Rainbow Bar, you know, and then he's playing Tin Pan Alley and swing and just kind of all kinds of things with Nick, and so he's an all around player, and he's got a unique style that it's a combination of all those things he's just a wonderful player and fun to watch and I just can't think of anybody like him. I mean, and he can do so much, and he's done so much, you know. And he probably reads music better than any of us. So,
Nick, where does that sort of that broad range of love for all different styles and stuff come from? Many people would stick with classical and stay there. What do you know about Owen that would give me insight into this diversity of ability?
When we were doing the Bitsko band and he was playing all this outrageous stuff that we both had a love for this old 20s and 30s swing stuff, and we were living together out at a farmhouse by Wakanda, not far from where we are now, and he had gramophones and an incredible collection of 78s. When we play together with Putty and Tom Schaefer or anybody else, and Owen gets out there, you look at those two other fiddle players, and they're just laughing because Owen, you know, I've played with him for so many years, and you'll never hear the same thing twice. And the guy is fearless when he decides to go for it. Like he will get out there like, God, are you going to get back? And, you know, and he always does. He's a totally unique player. And like I say, he is a go for it guy.
Larry, what's it like then to sort of be on stage with him and collaborating with that fearlessness and that talent and that passion all at once?
Well, my impression is, and it goes across all three of these guys, Kenny, Nick, and Owen, is they're very giving and supportive. If you're in a group, they want to see you succeed, and they want to give you some inspiration to play as good as you can because you'll give that back. Mm-hmm. And then they'll take that and carry it even higher. As far as a violinist, this guy is such a big book. I mean, when I first started working with him and Nick, is very aggressive. A very aggressive player, and he would routinely break strings every night. He would break a string. But there's one thing about Owen that it is the other side of that is. I mean, I was in the audience when he did his master's recital for violin, and he played Lark Ascending. And if you know that as a violin solo,
he did. Oh, that's great.
Oh yeah, and it was amazing. And he has that ability. And even up until most recent years, he had a teacher, and he would regularly take lessons. I mean, up until the last couple of years. And the one thing that I've noticed in his style is I don't think he's intentionally broken a string in the last 10 years, and has incorporated this kind of dynamic. Softer dynamic sustain that you can have on a stringed instrument like that into everything that he plays.
Kenny, is there anything he can't do? musically?
Okay, good catch.
What I want to include in this now that no one has mentioned that I've that doesn't talk about what Owen does. Mm. Owen is one of the most unique individuals that I've ever known. You know, we were talking about a 78 collection. Well, he's got old motorcycles. He's got just the oddest things. And besides that, he's kind of a museum of a lot of different interests and stuff. But his what I want to mention was his art ability. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that it's ever shown its face. And the other thing is that Owen's so somber and so polite, so courteous that people have never seen the funny kind of I call it anarchistic, just kind of a just a total genius of the ability to draw and the ability to cartoon. I just wanted to mention that.
There's a true intellect and scholarship to him as well. Larry, do you want to chime in on that? Also in his work in South Dakota Public Broadcasting, yeah. You really see that side of him come out.
I mean, you get a sense for his intelligence with his understanding of languages, the complexity of a music genre, classical, that he's presented so well for almost 20 years. But that's the tip of the iceberg, and it's this creative gene that he has that comes out in his music, it comes out in his humor, it comes out in his artwork. That's a pretty broad term for some of it that we've seen. But it's that creative, but all of it, and as maybe that's, in my opinion, is expressed by the sense of humor, is he wants to give you something. You know, whether it's a solo, whether he's if you're playing, and he has this as a soloist on a violin, he has this great sense of rhythm, you know. And I'm a rhythm section guy, so but he gives that back, and he wants to support that. He wants to take a solo. If you're listening, to have fun. The cartoons that Kenny's talking about are to make you laugh and feel good, and to give you something that makes you feel a little better than you did just prior to that. I mean, I really see that through. That's just who the guy is.
Yeah, the thing about Owen, you never would know that he's hysterical. You know, listening to him on the radio, and I think that's what most people know in the public broadcasting, South Dakota PB, is this very serious intellectual. And he's one of the funniest individuals I've ever known. He's just so surprising in so many ways, you know, and I don't think that comes across the radio much, you know.
He has been kind to me on a daily basis, and he has sought me out with his kindness, I would say, since I've been here. That must not surprise you. The side that I've seen of Owen has been one of intentional kindness to me and encouragement.
Yeah. He's one of the most considerate, honest, and loyal people that I think you will ever meet. He's just a very, very nice man in everything that he does, and would, I think, go miles out of his way not to offend anyone.
Hmm. Tell me what he means to, what he has meant to the music scene in Vermilion and in South Dakota. Let's talk about sort of his impact, which is not over by any means, his ongoing impact on music scene. Nick, do you want to start there?
Sure. Well, you know, starting at Grease City when we probably first heard this guy, and then out to God's Eye, again in Vermilion. But, you know, from all the slapped together gigs, you know, over all the years, that one has been the most consistent. So if anybody wants to hear Owen, you can hear him every week in Vermilion, and there's nothing like him. He's just an incredible player.
Kenny, do you want to talk about his influence a little bit on the statewide music scene?
I always tribute Owen for getting me involved in honky tonk or just music that wasn't on the written page, because I was trying to quit orchestra. I didn't necessarily want to do music. And like I said, I was sitting behind him, and I saw that the Armin pickup. I don't know. It's just a critical moment in my my life, what it is. And so from there, I knew this guy played fiddle in a bar room, you know. And so this opened up a world that I wasn't thinking about. And then I went down and heard Dry Mustard. He was with Dry Mustard playing. And that got me into it. And then I also want to say that he's been in a lot of bands. He was, besides the ones we talked about, Dry Mustard, Bitsko Band, he was in Red Willow for a while. Oh, and he was with the Traveling Band. That was Boyd and Harry Carpenter and Marley and Owen. They went to Nashville, and they were
traveling with Mickey Lee.
They were there for a couple of years, I think. Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, he's been in a lot of bands and covered a lot of ground. So
well, and beyond that too, you know, another if you're doing one word descriptions, another one would be, you know, very dedicated and conscientious, because just prior to kind of in between that time Kenny's talking about and being here at South Dakota Public, Owen was a teacher, an English teacher, and taught a variety of classes as a K-12 teacher. And I know he was so dedicated and so conscientious about the work that he did on behalf of those students. It's the same, I see that same picture, because he came from that to his career here, and he takes that same dedication and seriousness to how he presents music.
What do you want to see him do next, Nick? Now that he's going to retire musically, what do you want to see him do next?
I just want him to keep playing, specifically with me. And other than that, I want him to kind of live out his dream of, you know, he has an acreage out in the country. I just want him to have fun out there, go over and cut wood with him, and get his place more squared away, which is always a challenge, because I have an acreage too, you know, and it'll keep me busy. I wish I could live, you know, I wish I was a young man or could have another life to do all the things that I want to do. And I know he feels the same way. And I'm retired now, and I'm enjoying that so much that I think that's exactly what he wants to do, is just putz around the place. He'll be busy forever, and do what makes him happy, and keep playing music.
Larry, what do you want to say about him from a public broadcasting standpoint, and sort of what he's meant to listeners here, and then what do you want him to do next?
The musical side, you know, that part of his life, I think my intuition is, because from all of these great stories, he's a very, very private man. That's my impression, and that. But I get the feeling that when he is able to express himself playing music, it means a lot to him, you know, inside and out. I know it does for me, and I think it does for Kenny and Nick too. There's just a personal pleasure you get from being able, you know, that creativity, that creative outlet. So I hope, like Nick said, he continues to play with Nick for a long, long time, because I think it will mean a lot to him personally, and I know it means a lot to anybody who hears it.
He's been a friend, as well. Let's end there with something about him as a what does friendship mean to Owen? Nick?
Well, he is true blue and loyal to a fault. You know, he's just a good guy. But I'd like to mention a story that about Owen. It goes back to I was originally from Del Rapids, and my mom lived up there. And if we were in the area playing music, we'd stay with her. You know, my dad was long gone by that time. Her name is Gertie, and Gertie was beloved to anybody who knew her. But one time Owen and I were up there, and I don't know where my mom was, but we got into her purse, and Owen took out I don't remember what denomination of bill it was, but he drew this incredible clown coming out of the oval of the bill with big white hand, gloved hand, this beautiful clown, and the balloon coming out of his mouth said, "Hiya, Gertie." It was just classic. And then, you know, we put it back in her billfold, never thought anything about it. Well, when my mom died, my sister and I were going through her stuff. She had a little bank downstairs, and in it she had some silver dollars and a couple silver certificates. And in that, with the silver certificates, was this bill with, "Hiya, Gertie," you know, one of her most prized things, you know, that she put away for posterity.
Can I tell one more?
Please.
Owen, that I always think of and I always laugh, and it just kind of describes how Owen looks at things. Remember that there was a perfume called Taboo, and the picture that they'd use in the magazine, this is a long time ago, but it was this romantic painting, dark painting of this violinist, and he had his arm extended holding the violin, and in the other arm he had cradled this woman in a big gown. He's just laying a big old kiss on her, and Taboo, you know, that was Owen had clipped this out, and little, you know, it's just a 4x4 in a little magazine ad, and he put it in his violin case. And I always thought that was perfect, you know, that he would put that in there, and I still remember that.
We haven't even gotten around to talking about all the cats that he saved on our
hood.
What cats? I don't know about the cats. You tell me about the cats?
Well, many of his cats have been longtime contributors to SDTV.
Yeah, Robert the cat, Bubba.
Yeah.
That was
Super mailman. Destroyer 1 and Super Destroyer 2.
Yeah.
Johnny. And, so.
But, they are contributors, because whenever he'd get his program guide, and I was delivering the mail as a substitute mail carrier, it would either be, you know, Bubba the cat, or Robert. And then it would just be his address, you know, so there was no question about where it was going. But he saved a lot of animals. He'd find them on the road, these poor, in dumpsters, you know, these poor decrepit creatures, and he'd give them all the love and best health care that any cat could ever, and, you know, he'd have lifelong friends, you know.
Mm-hmm. Lifelong friends. And I want to thank these lifelong friends for sharing this with me, because I've learned so much and sharing it with all the listeners as well. We really appreciate your time. Thanks for being here.